Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, here for Game 2, live pregame show every single Syracuse home and away football and men's basketball game. We will be here live, and I'm happy to have my co-host with me, co-host that I've had for a while here, 4 years counting, Rob Drummond, Syracuse Orange alum. They're going to be honoring your team coming up here, honoring one of your coaches, obviously, today, and Coach Mack. So I guess that's where we can start here from Orange Crate Brewing Company, here with Rob Drummond. Of course, I'm Dan Tortora. Coach Mack, just what you can say about your history with him and your thoughts on Coach.
First of all, you said a lot of honoring. A lot of honoring just means I'm old. So, but no, all kidding aside, Coach Mack, what a great coach. I mean, a lot of words that I could sit here and say really could define him as a man. You know, he had the knack, he had the ability to be able to take, you know, average, as I'll say, average athletes, average young men, and turn them into great individuals and great leaders. You know, Coach Mack just had an affinity to be able to go out there and allow players to be able to believe in themselves, go out there and get 150% out of their effort and their ability, is to be able to go out there and work as a group, as a unit, as a team, and get things accomplished. And it'll be an honor to be able to be on that field today when he gets the award from the university.
When you think back on moments with Coach Mack, is there anything that sticks out, anything that he said to you, that he taught you? Are there any memories that are always fresh for you with Coach Mack?
I mean, for me, when I first came here, I was an 18-year-old kid right out of high school, you know, and just the simple fact of being part of a Division I program where you grew up in the city and you looked up to, like, the Art Monks, the Joe Morris, you know, the Bill Hurleys, the guys that you went to the Archbold Stadium to watch play, you know, and now I was a part of that. Coach Mack had a knack of being able to take an inner-city kid or a kid and be able to interject him into the scene with older, you know, I was playing against 19, 20, 21, 20, old, way older young adults than me, you know, but he had the ability to be able to make a young player like myself feel at home, a young player like Donnie McPherson feel at home, a young player like Moose Johnson, Daryl Johnson feel at home, you know, and it was more of a family unit. And when you're coming from the outside, and all these kids were from Massachusetts, Connecticut, you know, Western New York, you know, PA. And we all felt like one big family. And that was the greatest gift that Coach Mack could ever give to us. You know, the ability for us to be able to go out there and play as one unit and play as a family.
You bring up the fact that under Coach Mack, there were a lot of kids that came in from the New England area and the New York area. I talked to your former teammate recently here going into the game against Wake Forest, Don McPherson, and he spoke about the fact that this was a New England team, that it was comprised of guys that were in the Northeast, in the New England area, a lot of New York local, Long Island, New York. How important was that to the success of the team, that a North team, a North-based team, was with, you know, the group of people from New England? Because now Syracuse recruiting from Ohio, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Oregon. When you had the New England team, what did that mean to you? Because Donnie McPherson said that it was important to the success. Would you agree with that?
You know, I agree with Donnie completely. Coach Mack had a knack and ability to be able to recruit the Northeast, which Syracuse has lost, unfortunately, you know, in these days. You know, we didn't have guys, but we may have had one guy from Florida, one guy from Georgia, you know, one guy from the South. You know, even when we played in a game against our undefeated season, when we played against Auburn, and the following year we played against LSU, all we heard when we were down there during the bowl week was that you boys from the North can't play football. You know, we're the SEC, we're the best football in the country. You know, we got tired of it. They have to understand that the Northeast quadrant, as I call it, we play football up here too, you know, and that's the one attitude and moniker that Coach Mack was able to instill in us, to be able to go out there and compete with guys that thought they were more talented, but we just didn't get the recognition, but we believed that we could play with them, and we did.
One other thing that I talked about with Don McPherson, kind of going off of that, was what recruiting used to be for Syracuse, you know, what it used to be like, that New York State and Central New York and Upstate New York used to be important, used to be a big part of it. You were born and raised in Central New York. You have Scott Schwades, you have Tim Green. You had a lot of guys that were around here, and even Don McPherson, even though he wasn't in Central New York, Long Island, you know, within the state. And he said, you know, I feel Syracuse has lost that, that they don't have that right now. And he felt the importance of it and how vital it could be at this point. So you and I have talked about it forever, that Syracuse has to get back to recruiting in their backyard. But your former quarterback said the same thing, that that's what he would like to see, that it's gone away from that. So let's speak on that a little bit. Now that we're honoring Coach Mack, who used to go after the local players today, how Syracuse really isn't going after a lot of locals right now.
You know, it's really about having pride and being proud of where you're from. You know, as you said, I was born in Syracuse. I grew up in Syracuse. I played my Pop Warner football here. I played my high school football here. I played my collegiate football here. One of the toughest times for me was actually when I played my last game in the Carrier Dome. And I knew as a young adult that I'd never play in Syracuse again. You know, and that feeling of that moment of knowing I wouldn't be able to play in front of my family, being able to play in front of my friends, being able to play in front of my former teachers, you know, and the pride I had of me as a former Orangeman, you know, just overwhelmed me. And that's the instinctive thing that Coach Mack understood from kids that he recruited from the Northeast Quadrant. They were going to be playing for something more than just football. They were playing for the pride of playing in front of family, friends, of where they grew up, and the love of the Orange.
When we look forward here, and you look at, you know, some of the successful guys are coming from the South, Grizzly Esteem, Steve Ishmael, coming from the West, Eric Dungy, who's having his first collegiate start ever and only his second game, going into this game against Wake Forest. What can you say to that? Because you've always been a recruit local guy, and I get the importance of it because I was born and raised in Central New York, minutes from the Dome myself. So when you look at both sides of it, that Syracuse is recruiting talent from all over the country that are some of the best players on the team, and at the same time they're not recruiting locally in New York. How do you kind of balance the two? Do you feel like there needs to be both, or would you rather see a New York dominant team trickling a few of these guys that are outside?
I mean, of course you got to bring guys from the outside. Look at Marcus Paul. Marcus Paul was from Florida and won our All-American free safety. So definitely you got to get guys from the West Coast, you know, the Midwest and the South. But my take on it is look at the teams now that have those players, and look at the teams back when I played, when we had those players. You know, we went to national bowl games. We had undefeated season. We had 9, 10, 11 win seasons. So we did something right back then that they're not doing right now. You know, so but definitely there has to be a balance of both. It just can't be heavily loaded on one side. So I'm all for it, but you know what? You definitely have to get your local talent, and even start recruiting your local talent early. I'd say as 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders, just show interest. And in showing interest, they'll show these kids that, you know what, if you go out there and work harder, you go out there and get better, we could possibly give you a scholarship. And that will drive those kids to work that much harder. You know, when you show no interest in these kids at all, what does it do? But to them, it feels as if you turn their back on them. You know, so they'll just start shutting down, they'll start getting bad grades, they won't go out there and work as hard. Any other university comes calling, they'll, you know, they'll dump Syracuse and turn their back on Syracuse. It has to work both ways, you know. And I always say, even if I was a recruiter at Syracuse, I'd start going to these kids' games or showing interest in them as 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders. Yes, we may not give them a scholarship, we may go a different direction, but at least those kids will have the chance to be able to go out there and work hard and get that much better, knowing that Syracuse University, which is in their own backyard, had interest in them at an early age.
And I think that's kind of the interesting thing, is when the Syracuse coaches have an opportunity to go out and recruit and go visit, even if it's just that they can watch practice but they can't talk to the kids during certain times. When they go out, it's Ohio, it's Florida, it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's the Carolinas. But you don't hear them necessarily going out to a Henniger game or East Syracuse Manoa or Fayetteville Manlius or CBA or JD. When it's in your backyard, when it's right in front of you, even though they have a certain amount of time that they can go out, does it surprise you? Is it strange to you that they're not driving 5 minutes down the road or 10 minutes down the road to go see a kid here? I mean, Jack Brodsky is on the radar from CBA down the street, as well as Noah Jordan Williams, who has an offer from CBA as well. But are you surprised that there's not more of a Syracuse coach at a Henniger game or a Syracuse coach going out and seeing ESM? I mean, does that surprise you at this point?
You know what? I spent 4 years in college and 15 years as a pro, and this moniker they're going to say of not having the time. I mean, I own businesses now, and I live a 25-hour day. I still have the time to find the time to go to these high school football games and watch some of these high school players. So I'm tired of the excuses. You know, year after year after year after year, we've been an average to mediocre team. When I played, we were dominant because coaches actually came to our game and watched us play. And when we would turn around and see a Syracuse University coach up there, it would inspire us that much more to be that much better and work that much harder. So times have changed. You know, get back to the old and what actually worked and what won. You know, I'm tired of the average, ordinary teams that are producing, you know, 3-win, 4-win season. I think this town is also. But, you know, as I said before, they're starting to make a turnaround. They're getting a youth movement. I'm glad they're in the process of getting these athletes from across the country, from Oregon, from Georgia, from Florida. But you know what? Our own are just as good as those guys also. And when you interject them both, things will turn around.
He's talking about putting butts in the seats at the Carrier Dome. It seems natural and normal for us to say that if Syracuse was recruiting local high schools, even if the guys didn't necessarily make it or maybe they walk on or whatnot, that if they were recruiting locally, that it would be a lot easier to put butts in the seats. I mean, you look at Mackie McPherson, Cam McPherson, on the day that Coach Mack is being honored and should be honored every day for what he did, you know, for him and Ben Schwartzwalder. I mean, everything that they were able to put together, those two coaches stick out more than any coach for Syracuse football. And seeing his grandchildren, that brings some pride. That brings some people over. The fact that CBA is down the road has also helped. What can you say to the fact of, you know, they always want to get fans, they always want to put butts in the seats. Wouldn't going local, wouldn't taking one or two guys, even if it's a walk-on, I would think and I would expect that if two ESM kids ended up on the team some way, somehow, that there's going to be 20 or 30 people more at those games minimum for Syracuse. So it makes sense to, if you're going to bolster your crowd, do it by going local.
I mean, it's really a trend here, and it's a sad trend. You know, take, for instance, Mike Hart, the nation's leading rusher, Michigan all-time leading rusher, wasn't even recruited by Syracuse. Tyler Rouse, you know, nation's leading rusher at the time, you know, wasn't even recruited by Syracuse. It's starting at Boston College now. Had a tremendous game last week. You know what? So those are guys that could have filled the seat. Those are guys that went on to have, or Tyler Rouse is still in the process right now, having tremendous careers. For goodness sake, Mike Hart is an all-time leading rusher at the University of Michigan. So young guys, when they play with determination, they play with pride, they play with the passion of the game. It's like, you know, when you look at an athlete, don't judge that athlete by what you see, because you can't determine the size of a man's heart just by looking at him from game film. Guys that are given scholarships from Syracuse once they come to Syracuse here, and you got, I mean, there's a few bad ones, you know, that no one's perfect. Yes, you got to go through the trials and tribulations, but you know what? You're going to get that one gem. You know, you're going to be lucky enough to get that one Scott Swades, that one Tim Green, that one Chris Gedney. Heck, I can even say my name, that one Robert Drummond. You know what? You're going to get that one athlete that wants to come in here and turn a program around and start something new that, because he's always got his family to turn around and look at. You know, I said something funny about my son's game last week. You know, he plays for Bishop Bryan, a local high school here. And he had about at least 40 family members at the game sitting in the stands. And I said something to my friends. It's like, you know what, this is what it was like for me to be able to, every time he turned around, no matter, and he was struggling in the game because they were keying on him, but he was able to turn around and see his family, see his friends, see his community, give him encouragement, you know, and that made him turn around and just go out there and just not quit. They really don't understand, I don't think these coaches do, the emotions that go through these young, because these kids are only 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, you know, they're young adolescents, they're babies, you know, so you have to give them emotional support, and you have to surround them and put them in an environment that's going to allow them to be successful. And I think recruiting local talent, you interject that talent into a team like Syracuse University, will make that university that much better.
As you go forward, we've talked about Don McPherson, quarterback of Syracuse in the past, and one of your quarterbacks. What is it, when you guys get together and you get to spend some time, I mean, you'll be on the field to honor Coach Mack in between the first and second quarters of the Syracuse game against Wake Forest. When you get together, what are some of those things you remember, some of those stories that you have? I mean, what's the relationship like with a Don McPherson, with a Scott Schwades, with the guys that are going to be on hand today? And Gedney, I think, will be up in the booth, so won't be able to come down. But when you're around all those guys, life like now for you when you get back together?
You know, it's a brotherhood. It's as if we've never walked away from one another. It's like, you know, we stay in touch with one another. You know, we may not see each other as much as we would like to, but, you know, it's something, we have a bond. You know, we went through battle together. You know, we went through good times. We went through bad times. We went through ups and downs. We went through practice. We went through class. I mean, when you're a close-knit unit like we were like that, you know, you never forget the good times, but you also never forget the bad times. So when someone else would struggle, we all would struggle. And when we get that, and when we see one another, it's just a joyous part of us, our makeup and our whole moniker of simple fact of being, you know, being that one family, because whenever you walk around your family, you never forget, right? It's your family. You know, they believe in you. You know, they got your back. You know what you went through to be at that point in your life. So it's something when I see those guys, I'm going to smile, give them a hug, you know, and just, it's just like the beat goes on. We never forget where we came from and how we got there.
Before we take our first break here from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, live pregame show here, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora featuring Rob Drummond. When you look at what you've done at Syracuse, and we talk about New England, we talk about the success that's come out of New England, one of those guys is from Connecticut that's on the team right now, not highly recruited. Not talked about that much. Nobody know what to expect. He came in as a skinny, shorter running back. Now he can block better. We obviously know he can run. He's very elusive. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. But as of right now, he's out with injury, and that being Irv Phillips. So before we take our first break here from Orange Crate Brewing Company, what's a Syracuse team like without Irv in your mind? Is Irv a catalyst that has to be there to win? Or as we look at Wake Forest, a team that's struggled, a team that's trying to find their footing under head coach Dave Clawson, is Syracuse okay in this situation without Irv? Or not having Irv today, is this going to be a big knock on the team, knowing what he can do?
You know what? Big loss, but injuries are part of the game. You know, at some point, there's no one player that's going to decimate your team so much that you're not able to win a game. And Irv Phillips is that same player also. You know, he's not going to decimate Syracuse enough where they can't win the game. Injuries are a huge part of the game. Injuries happen in high school football, Pop Warner football, professional football, collegiate football. You know, it's a part of the game, but someone else has to step up and make plays in the game. So for Syracuse, they've had a week to game plan for this. They had a week to be able to go out there and prepare plays now, you know, without Irv in the lineup, so they'll be just fine. And this is a game that I've said before, you know, they just have to go out there and just keep their foot on the gas pedal right now, because it's a game they're supposed to win, a game they should win, and I think a game they will win.
I got to ask you about, when it comes to injuries, Syracuse is very quiet. They talk about, you know, if somebody gets injured and you know that it's their right ankle, it's a right ankle, it's a lower body injury. If they have a concussion, it's an upper body injury. They don't go specific into it, even if you see it, even if you know it. I mean, last year, Austin Wilson got knocked on the ground, couldn't really move his body. You could tell with his head that he was completely out of it, and it was concussion. But it didn't get reported till about 2 weeks after. How do you kind of take the injury reports? Because when it comes to the NFL will tell you what's going on, where they got hurt, what's their time back. I mean, you know, they'll let you know right off the bat. There's a torn meniscus. We got 2 to 4 weeks. He's going to have surgery. They're not going to have surgery. So with Syracuse, with the lower and upper body injury, the hush-hush about it, don't talk about the injuries, what do you think of that? I mean, they see it as maybe a competitive advantage to not have another team know, but other coaches are free with it. This guy's going to be out this week. He broke a collarbone. He's going to be out for X amount of weeks. How do you kind of take Syracuse as opposed to some of the other injury reports? Is it a competitive advantage?
I find it kind of funny, personally, because I remember Coach Mack used to be like, you know, when we would get an injury report on a certain player was injured, and Coach Mack would say, I don't care. You know, we're going to prepare for him anyway. If he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And that's the attitude and that's the approach we took. We're not going to sit here and make this huge, you know, theatrical scene thing about this guy's not playing. He's got a lower body injury. He's got this. He's got that. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're either going to play the game or you're not. We're going to prepare just the same for you playing as we would if you weren't playing, you know, because sometimes if you don't prepare for a superstar, you tend to slack off and, you know, go a little bit lightly. Now when that superstar shows up, all of a sudden it's a big shock to you. So just prepare like the best player in the game is going to be playing, and that's all it'll take. This new generation of coaches and players and with this lower body injuries, and I'm like, please, you know, it's just too much. It's just one more extra thing for them to think about, and I think it's one more extra thing for the media to be able to write about, and one more extra thing for the coaches just to be able to have to do. Either they're going to play or they're going to not, or they're not going to.
And that's kind of how I look at it too, because when you wait so long to figure out if somebody's playing or not, a team's got to prepare for it. And in my case, when you're broadcasting, when I'm writing a story or something like that, I want to know who's going to be out there, because without Irv Phillips, Ben Lewis is the guy. So now we got to talk about Ben Lewis. Well, I followed Ben Lewis a lot longer than some of the other media people when he wasn't playing, when he was, you know, one catch a year, or maybe they put him in a game at the end of the game for garbage time. But Ben Lewis is a good runner. He can actually run the ball as a running back now, which they didn't expect, and he can catch the ball. And him and Adrian Fleming, 3 years ago, Fort Drum, when everything got started, they had the best hands on the team. Ben Lewis, to this moment, potentially, he still has the best hands on the team. So you want to talk about Ben, but you don't know about Irv, and you're trying to prepare it that way. I think maybe sometimes not telling what injuries are going on take away from putting a focus on another player to give them some credit, to talk about what they're capable of and what they can do. And what we've seen in the past, too, is the lower body, upper body injury doesn't change the game. Not reporting it doesn't change a win or loss, and Syracuse has lost games when they haven't reported it, and they've lost games when maybe they have come out with it. So at this point, you know, I know the media in general, social media, is all about get it out, let us hear it, we need to know everything, what did Irv have for breakfast, where is he going now, how many classes has he taken. But I think at this point, it's okay to say Ben's the next guy up. Dante Strickland might see some time here. Because once you tell me Irv is out, my wheels are turning. I know who they're going to. They don't want Wake Forest to know that, but you've said it before. Just beat me. Whether you know my personnel, whether you know my playbook or not, you're going to have to figure out a way to beat me. And that's something that you said Coach Mack was about, too, is that we're going to go on the field, and we could care less who sees our practice. You still have to beat us on game day.
There's a reason Irv Phillips starts and Ben Lewis is, backs him up. You know, he's a better player. He's a starter. You know, so you prepare for the better player. You prepare for the starter. Not to say that Ben is not as talented, and well, he's not. I mean, that's no knock on him. I mean, Irv is just more dynamic. He's more shifty. He's more explosive. I mean, he truly is. You know, so when you prepare for a player like that, you're getting the best of the best. But then Ben is probably just a step back because he doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the elusiveness. He has a little bit more size. But once you prepare for the best, then when the second best, maybe a step back comes in for it, you're still prepared for the best. So you'll get the best work out of that. That defensive player guarding him at the time. So always go out there and prepare for the best, because even if they bring in the second best, you know, it may not be as fast, may not be as elusive, may not be as quick. You know what? You prepared for the best, you'll get that work done and be ready.
That coming from Rob Drummond, myself, Dan Tortora, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live here. Game day going into Syracuse and Wake Forest. We're here for every single pregame, about 3 hours or so before the game, because Rob is going over and doing a little bit of TV as well, so he gets the most out of broadcasting heading into it, and I get an opportunity to sit here with you for a little bit, a good friend, a good person in the Syracuse community, and somebody who cares a lot more than orange and blue, cares about the people up and down all of these streets here in the city, just as I do. So we'll be back here in a few minutes from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Avenue, to give some recruiting news that I can verify from the player himself today, some of the big coming up, and a few other things that we can talk about, including the dome. So many rumors about the dome. I have tested them all. I have gone to people that I trust and gone about each of these rumors. I believe there's 5 to 7 at this point. We will talk about if some of these rumors were to be true, what is our opinion on some of the things they could do with the dome, as well as that recruiting news of a player in the 2016 incoming class that could possibly find his way to upstate New York. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Rob Drummond, Dan Tortora will be back. Back here, Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave, Dan Tortora alongside Rob Drummond, Syracuse Orange alum. We are here for every live pregame show of every Syracuse football home and away game, as well as Syracuse men's basketball home and away, here with Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live on site right down the road from the Carrier Dome. We talked about a lot of things coming into this, a lot having to do with local recruiting and the fact that you and Don McPherson would like to see more of it, and then giving a little bit of an ode to Coach Mack, who's going to be honored, and you'll be there for that in between the first and second quarter, going up against Wake Forest today at the Dome. Someone going up against Wake Forest today, a big, huge part of Syracuse, and having to do it quickly, is Eric Dungy, the Oregon quarterback who is a true freshman who came in for an injured Terrell Hunt, who we know is out for the season, was pretty clear that he would be, but hasn't, you know, had an Achilles injury, had surgery, out for the year. So moving forward, Eric Dungy played, first game he could ever play in college, played in it. First collegiate start is the second game of his career. You knew it from watching his film. Tim Lester knew it for a while, and myself speaking with him, hearing about him, getting to know what type of player he is, I had full faith that if he was needed this year, he was going to play well. You know, that was something that I truly, honestly believe. So it's kind of funny when people now are getting to know Eric Dungy and talking about Eric Dungy to understand the fact that this is a guy who on film would have shown you if you were watching it that he deserves to start. And somebody who throughout fall camp at Syracuse had pretty much made it known that he was going to be the number two guy. Austin Wilson, as much as he's tried very hard to do certain things, he's in his third year making the same mistakes that he was in his first, and that coming from quarterback coach Tim Lester, that Austin's trying to come along here but still making some mistakes. A.J. Long had been injured, but Eric Dungy was brought in to potentially be the future. And I'm not surprised at all that he is the future right now. What do you think about Eric Dungy coming out of game one where we saw 10 completions out of 17 attempts, 114 yards, two touchdowns, and most importantly, for the true freshman quarterback, no interceptions?
No, I'm not surprised at all. The simple fact that I remember at some point last year, my partner, you know, told me, he's like, you know, Syracuse looking at this one kid, Dungy, or somebody's signing this one quarterback out of Oregon. And I was like, out of Oregon? And I had heard nothing about it, and I'm in Inner Circle, you know. So I said, so he sent me a link of on his Huddle page, and it was from his junior year, highlights from his junior year. And I just sat there and said, my first thing was, why isn't Oregon or Oregon State going after this young man? This is one of the most athletic quarterbacks I've ever seen. Yeah. You know, and the more and more I watched this film, I was like, there's no way we're getting him. Because I thought for sure that Oregon or Oregon State were going to get him. But when he happened to fall into our lap, I said to myself, as good as Terrell Hunt may be or is, this young man is possibly going to push him for the starting job. The only reason he may not get it is because he's a freshman. But I said, he's very, very talented. You know, and now you hear the things from the coaches about, you know, how heady he was as a player. And by heady, I mean there's a reason I started my first game as a freshman, not my second game. I mean, I started the first game of my college career when the ball was kicked off. I was on kick return, actually. But I started that game because I had a high IQ for the game of football. And you hear rave from the coaches that Eric Dungy has the same thing. He has a high IQ for this game of football. And that's one reason now, after watching his athleticism, that's one reason that they put him in the game. He did the things that he did, and, you know, and overcame everything that was against him as being an 18-year-old kid playing in college, playing his first Division I college football game, why he was successful.
And I want to look back at his two touchdown passes. The first one, the hop pass that he had where he ran over to the right side, left his feet, and kind of threw it up in the air. Irv tips it to himself. And we got to give credit to this one. Yes, Dungy found Irv, but he basically got the ball in the hands of a playmaker. Irv tipped the ball in the air to himself, made that quick slant, and then it was a dash. And when it comes to him in a horse race, he's going to win it. So that's the first one we can give more credit, I would think, to Irv. But the second touchdown to Irv in the right corner at the other end zone, he just went up and got it. Irv just went up and got the ball. So Dungy throws two touchdowns in his debut.
Water doesn't count.
After that, we look at this game. We look at Wake Forest. Dungy's two touchdowns were to Irv Phillips. Irv Phillips is not in the game today. So you talk about kind of building a comfort level. A.J. Long against Florida State in his first opportunity to get out there, he threw two touchdowns to a true freshman, Steve Ishmael, and you saw the comfort level between the two of them. Without Irv out there at this point, I mean, Dungy's a guy who I think can spread the field and get it done, but when you have that comfort level right away, Do you think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for him not having such an explosive player like Irv?
I think the learning curve now is over for the simple fact that his upside is unbelievable. And as you notice, Steve Ishmael and Brizzly Esteem really weren't involved, you know, so much in the game that last week because I chalk it up to, you know, to rookie nerves because he wanted to keep the ball in close. He wanted to throw the little short passes, much more comfortable passes, whereas now he's comfortable like being able to survive his first game. So now he can go out there and he can hit the home run ball. He can start throwing to the outside receivers now because he had a week to prepare as a starter. He has one week of being that much more comfortable. And now it's just for him to be able to go out there, again, a huge advantage, having that dome crowd, having being at home, you know, having everything set right here. We don't have to travel and go anywhere. We're in a hostile environment. Be able to go out there and relax. Yes, Irv is out, you know, but as one man goes down, one man has to step up. This is a game of football. You're not always going to have your superstar, your playmakers in there. Sometimes, as a player, you have to go out there and you have to be the one to be able to make the plays yourself. And that goes from quarterback, offensive lineman, receiver, on down to the running back. So I think this young man's just fine.
You bring up Steve Ishmael, Brizzly Esteem, two receivers, the two starting receivers on Syracuse. Steve, three catches, Brizzly, one. Was that one of the most surprising things to you? Do you just chalk it up to Dungy trying to find a comfort level there? I mean, when you see two of the most explosive weapons have four catches combined in four quarters, how did you kind of come back from that game going into Wake Forest now?
You have a freshman quarterback who's very nervous, who just wants to stay in the confine of what his game is possibly. Right now, does he believe in his arm? Yes. But was he uncomfortable last week? Of course. He's a freshman player. I mean, just a few months ago, you know, he was a high school football player. Now he's playing Division I college football, you know, and he's starting because the starter got hurt. You know, so I've been there myself before, you know, been a freshman, walking into the field. And I tell you, I played Mississippi State my freshman year, 18-year-old kid. Weeks before, I was at JD High School. Now I'm playing on national TV down at Starksville, Mississippi. And just to look up and see, the most I'd ever played in front of, probably a couple hundred fans. There were 80,000 people at this game. And I was just caught up the entire game. It didn't take me until the following game, you know, to finally realize, okay, I belong here, I can be here, I can play here. That young man's the same way. I bet you he started airing out today, and he'll air it out very, very much of those guys.
So, Dungy, coming out of that first game, what did you take away as far as his ability to, you know, we didn't see him air it out, which you think he'll do today, and I feel like we're going to see more of that as well, and he does have a big-time arm. And that's kind of what kept him and Austin Wilson somewhat even coming through the fall, is that they both have a big-time arm. But Eric Dungy is able to minimize his mistakes, so to speak, and you saw that. I mean, as a true freshman, to not throw a pick, that says a lot about him. But surveying the field, not just looking down his target and throwing the ball to the first guy that he sees, I thought that was important to see, that he did survey the field a little bit. He was able to run. He looked pretty comfortable in the pocket. What were some memorable things that you took away from Eric Dungy from that initial game, knowing he's a true freshman and that a few months ago he was a high school player? Did you see certain things that you really liked out of him coming in for Terrell Hunt?
You know what? He took a man in the offense. He played cautious, which you would expect from anybody put in that situation to be able to put out there as an 18-year-old kid playing the first Division I college game, you know, in front of the fans at the Carrier Dome would be in awe, would be, you know. His first thing was he was in shock. He was just like, wow, I'm actually getting a chance to play amongst men. It was a boys amongst men at that point, you know, but the kids relax now because I've been in that same position myself. When I came back here to the Carrier Dome after playing down in Mississippi, you know, I was like, I'm fine now. You know, I understand I can do this. He realizes he can do this. So that playing cautious moniker that he went into that game with, you know, after being thrust in the starting position, is gone now. So he's going to go out there and understand and realize, you know, it's his time. It's his time to be able to go out there and play. And play like you played when we saw that young kid we saw on that huddle tape that was actually running around and making all those plays. That's the kid you're going to see today.
And when we see somebody like Eric Dungy, like you said, running around and making plays, after Terrell Hunt went out, Eric Dungy decided to run. Now, the Carrier Dome, fans that are watching are thinking, okay, we've already lost one. We're just seeing Eric Dungy for the first time. We can't afford to lose this guy. He goes to the right sideline. He gets popped helmet to helmet. Helmet comes off as he's trying to slide forward. Kind of a moment of a gasp, silence. He pops right back up, grabs his helmet, puts it on, and goes back to work. What can you say about that moment for him? Because we always talk about mental toughness, physical toughness, the ability to stay in the game, to not let anybody keep you down. Now, injuries are going to happen, but to see a true freshman get popped in the helmet, have the guy get taken out of the game because of the hit, and see him have the helmet come off and go right back into the huddle. What did that say to you about who Eric Dungy is in a blue-collar town that needs a guy that's tough?
You know what? My one of the first times I ran the ball, as again, down in Mississippi, Starkville, Mississippi. I'm an 18-year-old freshman, 6 or 7 months removed from high school, you know, playing in my first game. And we were running a freeze option. Donnie McPherson pitched me the ball. I was going to catch the ball, and a linebacker, I'll never forget his name, Cedric Corse, put his helmet right on my chin. Never been hit that hard before in my life. You know, I got hit, and at that point, we had about 4 or 5 running backs that were down. You know, so who else was going to go in? So I got hit, fumbled the ball, they got the ball, I got back up. He put his hand out, and for some reason, I shook his hand, and he was like, "Welcome to the NCAA, rookie." And from that point, I was fine. Eric Dungy's fine right now. That hit just woke him up and let him know that he's able to play this game. He's able to go out there and take hits, and he's able to survive and get back up and dust yourself off and go on to the next play. You can't worry about getting hurt playing this game of football because it's not a contact sport. It's a high collision sport. So as long as you go out there and play with reckless abandon, as long as you go out there and play with heart, as long as you go out there and play with passion and pride, you'll be fine. Dungy showed me from that hit that he's able to go out there and have all those intangibles. So this young man's going to be a winner for us.
And we look at the other side, pregaming Syracuse Wake Forest. I want to make mention of one of the questions I asked Scott Schaefer in one of his teleconferences this week. The biggest takeaway from the film that the Syracuse head coach saw on Wake Forest, and he said they're sound defensively, they know what they're doing, they'll execute it well, they had a very good defense last year. I think they're going to have another good defense this season. I think they have a very good linebacker core. Young man Chubb is a very good player, as you know. They had to replace a couple corners, but the guys that played look like they're very adequate. They have good range, good skill sets. Their instincts to the ball are good. Then their defensive line, all four of those kids played hard. All four of those positions showed up in game number one as good players. Defensively, a very stout team. So those words coming from Scott Schaefer. Offensively is where Wake Forest struggled last year. Scott had this to say about the offense. Offensively, we've seen a lot of growth from their quarterback, John Walford, a young man that had to deal with a lot of issues last year as a freshman playing in a very difficult conference. You could see that he's grown mentally and physically. He's gotten bigger and stronger, shown the ability to throw the ball like we know he could. Also showed a couple impressive plays running the ball. One 70-yarder where he took off and circled the wagons and scored a touchdown. And then he mentioned the fact they have a good punter in Alexander Canal, who is 6'4", 6'3", 210 pounds. He made some big plays for them in the opener with some great kicking yardage. I think they averaged out about 43 yards. He had one that was probably 70 yards, it looked like. So a very good skilled team, a defense that knows what they're doing, and a young quarterback that can be extremely effective with the things that they're doing with him. So that's offense, defense, special teams from Schaefer talking with me on the phone this week going into Syracuse Wake Forest. One of the things I really want to key in on is John Walford. He's a young quarterback, so he has youth. Dungy has youth, but Walford played last season. Walford can run. He can take off. Syracuse, historically, within the last 5 years, has had really good moments against running quarterbacks or really terrible moments against dual-threat quarterbacks. What can you say about what you think of this defense and John Walford, knowing that John can run 70 yards and move the ball? What's kind of your thought of the defense this year for Syracuse?
You know what the funny thing is about football, and be honestly truthful? The simple fact that football is like a business. And by business, I mean if I'm IBM, you know, and I can't worry about Microsoft. I have to take care of IBM. I have to worry about what's inside my infrastructure in order to be able to dominate that opponent. Syracuse has 4 or 5 starters returning on offense, or returning on the offensive line. Last year was a mass unit. Guards were going to tackles were going to centers, centers were going to guards and tackles. So within that year, they had 10 or 11 guys starting at one point. This week, they have the same starting unit that they had last week, and that bodes well because without your offensive line up front, It's like the running backs don't go, quarterbacks don't go, and the receivers don't get the ball. So I'm more concerned about Syracuse and the offensive line being intact and them being that whole base unit, because everything starts up front. Nothing goes in football unless you get the guys up front going, the guys up having a cohesiveness, and the guys up front, you know, being able to play together for a while. So with Syracuse having four or five starters returning on the offensive line, that's what I'm really geared toward. And they're going to protect Dungey. Dungey's more confident now. The running backs are more confident now. The receivers are more confident now. They're going to have time. So whatever Wahlberg can do, he can do. He's going to be able to do it. That's what the defense is going to run around and make plays against him. But I'm more concerned with that offense who struggled last year in the red zone, who was great against the red zone against Rhode Island. You know, that offense did things this last week they couldn't do last year. And I owe it to the simple fact that the offensive line stayed together, didn't get injured, you know, and played that game well. So Syracuse has to take care of home first before they can worry about an opponent.
And you bring up the offensive line for the Syracuse Orange here from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave, here with Rob Drummond, Syracuse alum, myself, Dan Tortora, for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live pregame show. You can hear the rebroadcast on wakeupcalldt.com. The incentive is to be here to hear it live. If you don't, you can always hear the playback. We will be talking about the Carrier Dome, some potential change thoughts that we have, as well as some recruiting news for Syracuse that one of the players in the incoming 2016 class wanted me to release today during the show here at Orange Crate. But before we do that, you talked about the offensive line in Syracuse. When you go up and down the line, there's four starters, but Seamus Shanley, starting right guard, walk-on guy from the Central New York community out of Camillus, and Syracuse's rushing attack had 312 yards this past week. Now, they had against Rhode Island numerous guys in on the offensive line, but you got to give Shanley some credit for what Jordan Fredericks did, for George Morris II and company. Devontae McFarland didn't get out there, but when you look at this team in 312 yards, you said it starts and ends with the offensive line. What did you think of the offensive line, and specifically if there was anything you saw from Seamus Shanley that wowed you in week one, seeing 312 rushing yards to Rhode Island's four?
You know, dominance. When you're supposed to go out there and dominate a team, that's what you do. That's what Coach Mack always said. Coach Mack would say, you know what, guys, let's stop beating around the bush. We're a much more talented, much more physical, much more aggressive team. So let's just go show them how much more physical, much more talented, much more aggressive we are. And when they went out there and pushed those guys around up and down that field, that's what they were supposed to do. And the thing that I was more concerned with, more than anything else after watching last year, was guys getting hurt up front. No one got hurt. You know, now the more and more and more you play, like game one, game two, game three, game four, that offensive line with no injuries will get to go heat. They'll understand one another. They'll be able to work as a unit. And right now, after rushing for 300-something plus yards, you know, it's going to bode well going into this game this week.
Somebody like Jordan Fredericks, that's a true freshman, he had shown some good things when the fans got out to see him for Fan Fest. He did some good work there, did good work in fall camp. Jordan Fredericks is a name that kept coming up. George Morris II's a junior. Devontae McFarland's a junior. Finally, their team. There's no Jerome Smith. There's no Prince Tyson Gully. They've had to wait for a while to get this time. Then all of a sudden, Jordan Fredericks on the scene, who is a New York kid, a New York recruit. So we look at the state of New York and what Syracuse is bringing in. We talk about how New York needs to be a key component of the future of Syracuse. So Jordan Fredericks coming in, being a New York guy, doing what he's done. What did you take away from being a former Syracuse running back? What did you like about Jordan Fredericks?
Simple fact that I think Devontae and those guys George Moore made him that much better. For the simple fact that, like when Michael Owens was here, he made me better. He made me a much better player. Daryl Johnson made me a much better player because they made me work harder to hold on what I had. And that was a starting position. And for the simple fact that I'm pretty sure this young man would love to be out there starting, and he's going to go out there week in and week out, not just in games, but in practice also, and prove to those guys that, or prove his worth, prove that he should be starting. And that's only a great thing for Syracuse, because in the end, those guys battling in practice, they have to outdo one another. Granted, I wouldn't say probably, they're definitely good friends because they're in their running back group, their running back committee, their running back family, but they make each other better. And I know that for the simple fact that every running back that was on my team when I played also, we made each other better because we worked hard, because everyone wanted that coveted starting spot to get out there and be able to go out there and play for Syracuse.
Jordan Fredericks, 14 carries, 103 yards in his debut, 7.4 yards a carry, one touchdown, no fumbles, another big thing. Fredericks, is the first Syracuse running back ever to have 100 or more yards in his collegiate debut. What pieces of his game did you like? And I'll bring it to the one touchdown. This is the thing that sticks out to me the most. When Jordan Fredericks came across the right side and lowered his shoulder, got one defender off, lowered his shoulder again, stopped another one into the end zone. This was a guy that looked like nothing was going to stop him from getting to pay dirt. That's where he wanted to be. I mean, he could have easily gone down after 5 yards. But to lower one, lower two, get in, I believe it was a 21-yard run that he had, or 13-yard run that he had on his. What can you say about Jordan Fredericks and that play, or if there was another play that was significant to you in how he did what he did? I thought the whole lower the shoulder and barrel his way in was the best move he had. Did you see something else?
You know what? Yeah, I'd say that run exactly, because he's a very determined, very hard-nosed, very no-nonsense runner. It's like, you know what? The shortest distance between 2 points is what? A straight line. It's not to the left, it's to the right. It's a straight line. And this young man, his determination, his will, his desire to be able to go out there and, you know, just run guys over, be physical, because as I said before, this is a collision sport. This is not a powder puff game. If you want pom-poms, go on the sideline with the cheerleaders, you know? This is a physical sport. And that young man treats a position of running back as it should be. You know, lower your shoulder, get to where you need to do. If it was ever in your way, be determined to get 6 points on that scoreboard, because that's the exact same way I ran.
Another guy that ran the ball is a running back, also marked down as an H-back. Might get some more work as an H-back with Irv Phillips out in this game versus Wake Forest. Dante Strickland. They put him in toward the end of the game. He's another true freshman running back from New Jersey. This man has been through a lot. For a year and a half that he was in high school, he was living in a hotel room with numerous members of his family because they didn't have a house. He's been through a lot of adversity off the field, things that he said were embarrassing to even tell his friends, fought through that adversity, talked to me about it on my show, came here, went to work, and late in the game, the only fourth quarter score by any team was Dante Strickland breaking out to the left side, beating everybody, using that one blocker, and getting into the end zone. And I talked to him after the game, and I said, you know, it looked like you had a very emotional kind of like freeing moment when he threw his arms down and yelled, that in that moment it looked like a lot of it had just come out of him, that initial feel. What did you like about Dante Strickland, knowing that he's another true freshman running back, and he's a guy that can catch the ball and is obviously going to be utilized?
Can play with a lot of emotion. And at that point, you know, just a lot of that anxiety, a lot of that emotion just came out, and he expressed it. You know, that's the kind of player you want on your team, because that's the one who just, no matter how talented he is, no matter how gifted, no matter every intangible he has that can make your team that much better, he's going to go out there and play with heart. And those are definitely the players you want around.
Syracuse and Wake Forest, we always hear Scott Schaefer say, we have to control the controllables. That's what he always says, control the controllables. You can't think about the other team, whether it's LSU or Florida State or Clemson or anybody, Wake Forest. He always says to control the controllables and to not think about the other team. How do you kind of look at it and see controlling the controllables when it comes to that? Some fans start to get bored of it. They say it's just coach speak. It's not important. It's not a big deal. But Schaefer has keyed in on, listen, we can only do what Orange and Blue can do. We can only worry about how we practice, how we play, and what we do. Is it really as simple as it gets, even though it's not what maybe some people want to hear? Is it the truth of the matter, in your opinion, that whether it's Wake Forest or LSU, you can only do SU and only focus on SU?
Remember that analogy I told you about IBM and Microsoft? All Microsoft can do is take care of what Microsoft does. It doesn't matter what IBM does. As long as Microsoft take care of their home, you know, and build their product and build their brand that much stronger, the rest will take care of itself. All Syracuse do is take care of Syracuse and what's inside of Syracuse and the intangibles of Syracuse. They can't worry about what Wake does. They can observe them. You know, they can try and get some ideas. They can try and get an advantage. But at the end of the day, they still have to take care of Syracuse.
Syracuse taking care of Syracuse. This is Dan Tortora alongside Syracuse alum Rob Drummond. Live here, pregame show, every single Syracuse home and away game. We will be here pregaming about 3 hours before pregaming Syracuse football here for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora game day. And we will be back here in just a few moments to talk about some Syracuse recruiting news that one of the players thinking about, had Syracuse in his top four. He's made a little bit of a decision and is on the way to making another decision. That'll be coming up next, and a few more things coming up talking about the Dome, and there's a lot of rumors going around in the city, so we'll talk about some of those here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave. Back here, Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave, home of the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, live pregame show for everybody on wakeupcalldt.com, where you can get to 24/7. You can listen, watch, and read information about Syracuse football and a lot of different things going on in the community and across the country, sometimes internationally. We are live here before every Syracuse pregame Syracuse for football as well as men's basketball. Rob Drummond here with me for football. We're only two going into our second game here in our live pregame from Orange Crate Brewing Company, 721 South Krause Ave. Want to let everybody know that on game days for my pregame, the fishbowl that they have here is normally $18, a little mixture of everything. It's $12, so almost half price to come in here and get it. You'll see our banner up on the wall here, and I'm very happy to have a good friend of mine, Rob Drummond, sitting next to me. It's one thing to have a Syracuse living legend, in my opinion, in the top three running backs yards per carry of all time with Ernie Davis and Jim Brown, but it's another thing to be 4 years from the first time we met and be a friend, be somebody who I trust, who sits in this seat more for friendship than anything else, and gives me an opportunity to share some thoughts on Syracuse, but to help the community that we both care about so much is a big part. We have some recruiting story to talk about, as well as some things on the Dome. Before we do that, I want to make a note of what Dave Clawson, the head coach of Wake Forest, said to me on the phone this week. He said, again, on defense, they're a very difficult scheme, talking about Syracuse. They do a really good job in their base package. They have a very complex blitz package. When you get into third downs against them, they're very, very creative. So there's certainly a schematic challenge in terms of their personnel and their scheme. Offensively, they have very skilled players. You look at their offensive line, they start four seniors and a junior. They have good skill players. These guys beat us a year ago. They made plays against us, whether it's Ishmael, Esteem, Phillips, and Dungy is a guy that can beat you with his arm and his foot. They'll be a very improved offense. They have a lot of success against us a year ago. We'll be challenged with their scheme and personnel on both sides of the football. That's coming from Dave Clawson talking with me about Syracuse. Now, he did mention Irv Phillips. So Irv was mentioned that he was going to be out on Thursday, which I'm, you know, schematically is something that Syracuse probably did to make sure that they got Wake Forest at the end of practice and said, okay, well, we're going to let you know Thursday later on that there's no Irv Phillips coming out here, so now you only have, what, like a day to prepare, and there's really no film on Ben Lewis, so that's a helpful thing from this year and what he's going to do this year. Nor was there a lot of film on Dante Strickland outside of the big run that he had and a few other things. So what do you think about, before we get into recruiting and we get into the Dome, what do you think about Dave Clawson and kind of what he had to say about Syracuse? He really respects the offense, but the defense blitz package and third down are two things he's really concerned about.
You know, that ball of defense, the young guys, you know, they may be young, but they fly around, they make plays, and they're definitely going to hit you. That's a ball of defense. Clawson says a typical thing of what a college coach says. He says, nothing to give with another team billboard material, and that's the one thing we always look for when I was playing, something that another player said or something that a coach said that would motivate you that much more to even go out there and, we always said, punch him in the mouth. You know, but for the simple fact that he understands, they prepared for Irv Phillips. Why? There's a reason that Irv Phillips is a starter, because he's more dynamic, he's more explosive, he gives him a best advantage to win. It's a simple fact that he out, that the guy that's coming in, he's not a talent that Irv Phillips was, because if he was, he'd be starting. You know, so for them, they're going to go, they prepared all week for Irv Phillips, so they're on a high, so it's an advantage when you can prepare for the starter being in there.
And as we move forward here, one of the guys that I had spoken to, 2016 incoming class, on wakeupcalldt.com, I do a lot of Syracuse recruiting. If you just go to the recruiting tab, you will see that there are numerous pages and pages of interviews that I've done with recruits one-on-one. One of those recruits being Jay Rose. Jay Rose is a guy who is a quarterback/tight end, and he narrowed his list of schools for 2016, him making his choice for next year, he narrowed it down to four: Syracuse, Wisconsin, Wake Forest, and UConn. He's from Connecticut, so UConn's the hometown school. Now, he told me, and some reports came out, and he was hoping that everything would be saved until this morning because he wanted us to be able to do this, and I thank Jay Rose and his family for that. Jay has narrowed his schools down to two. It's Syracuse and UConn. It's 3.5 hours from home and right at home. Wisconsin's out. Wake Forest, so Syracuse has already won a battle against Wake Forest today. Wake Forest is out of Jay Rose. If Jay Rose was to come to Syracuse, they're looking at him for defensively football, defensively to be a quarterback, a tight end, or potentially even play on the defensive side. But if Syracuse was to get Jay Rose, it would be their second quarterback in the class. Rex Culpepper is the first one. He tore his ACL, but they're going to honor him and stick with the guy, even though he's not going to be playing this season. What can you say about if Syracuse is to get another quarterback, and I'll be talking to Jay Rose in just a couple hours on that exact fact, if they get another guy? What can you say about having two quarterbacks come in, already having Eric Dungy and A.J. Long, Austin Wilson? We'll see where things shake out. There's a chance maybe he could potentially transfer out. So Eric Dungy's here. He's a true freshman now. Jay Rose, if he was to come with Rex Culpepper, what can you say about Syracuse and having a young quarterback future that's going to be a pretty effective way to practice? I would say all these guys are going to push each other.
You know, great guy. Sounds like he can play a lot of positions, but it says a lot for this young man to narrow his choices down to Syracuse and UConn. What did he want to do? He had the pride of staying in the Northeast, the pride of playing for a team at his hometown like UConn, and the pride of playing for a team that's close that he probably read about all the time in Syracuse. You know, so it just says a lot about when you recruit local talent and when you recruit close to your home, these guys and their mindset and what they're thinking about and what they want to do and the legacy they want to hold on to, because it's in their own backyard. And when it's in your own backyard, it's very important to you, and it's very important to your heart.
Jay Rose, a quarterback, tight end, Connecticut, looking to make his decision this weekend. Like I said, I will be talking with him. You can look for it on wakeupcalldt.com. We'll be talking one-on-one in just a couple hours to get his thoughts. So he may release it today. He may release it tomorrow, but it's coming soon. Syracuse and UConn is the big news. He's narrowed it down. He's made his choice. He doesn't want to go out to Wisconsin, and he didn't even visit them. Doesn't want to go out to Wake Forest, didn't visit them either. He visited UConn. He came up and saw Syracuse. He wears number 20, so he got to wear the jersey when he was here. But as Syracuse heads into their game against Wake Forest, it's either going to be Syracuse or UConn now. Wake Forest out of it for Jay Rose. And that is the big news here recruiting-wise. Jay Rose wanted to let the community of Syracuse know, you're in my final two. Before I let Rob go here on live show from Orange Crate Brewing Company, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, take a look at the dome. The dome is talking about changing that roof, that it's kind of come to the end of its lifetime and they have to do something about the dome. Anybody that was at the dome for the Rhode Island game knows it's about 100 degrees in there. So not just being in a cold weather climate, when you play games in the end of August, early September, you're going to get that heat too. You and I have talked about if they're going to change the roof of the dome, which they're looking at doing, that a retractable roof would be the way to go. It's one of the rumors out there, but you know, I'd love to know what people here think about retractable roof, but if there is one, you can essentially say if there's 2 feet outside of snow, you shut it. If it's 12 degrees outside, there's a light snow, you schedule Florida State for the end of November and make them play in 12 degrees when they're practicing in 90, and it can be a competitive advantage. What do you think about the retractable roof if it was a possibility, if it's going to happen?
You know what? I played in Toronto for 3 years in the Sky Dome at the time. I think it's the Rogers Dome now. And having a retractable dome, a retractable roof, was one of the biggest blessings we ever had. I mean, there'd be times we'd be driving to the stadium, it'd be pouring rain out. And by the time we got into the dome, the rain stopped. And they would just rotate, it would take about 15 minutes, and they would rotate that roof, the sun would shine in, and the whole thing would just go back, and it would be a sunny day outside now. So what a great advantage. I mean, it was a huge advantage for us to have had the dome back in the 90s, the 80s. It's 2015 now. You know, we have to come first circle now. People would love to be outside on a day when it's sun out, you know, the wind blowing in your face, you know, the sun is shining on you, you know. We have to get back to giving the people what the people want. You know what? Syracuse needs to build themselves up to back to prominence. You know, and I think if they went with a retractable dome, that would be great. For the simple fact that people could be outside and inside, outside during great weather, or, you know, inside during inclement weather. So it's something to think about. If something, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do it regardless what the people want to do or not. They're going to do what they want to do. But it would be a great. I mean, if it has someone who's played in a retractable dome before, and it was a great advantage. It was a great thrill, too.
And when you played in the retractable dome, you did it in Toronto. We know that Toronto doesn't get a lot of snow, but it gets really cold. I was up there in this past January, and it was negative 12. It was for 4 days I was there, it was in the negatives. So when you look at what Syracuse could be, Clemson out of South Carolina, and obviously Florida State out of that Sunshine State, they don't know how to really go up against that type of weather. Now, Syracuse played, they practiced in a foot of snow and went down to Florida State 2 years ago. So I think competitively it would be a good thing, and for fans in a game like that against Rhode Island, if you had a retractable roof, you could air out the dome a little bit and it wouldn't feel like it was 110 degrees only getting hotter. So to me, retractable roof makes the most sense because some people want an outdoor like Archbold. Some people want the indoor or the dome. This way you keep the dome, but you give kind of the – you kind of can reminisce about Archbold Stadium and have both. So ultimately, do you think that that would be the best idea to do a retractable roof if it was on the table and Syracuse said, we're going to put a hard top on the dome? Wouldn't you think at this point to just make it retractable and give people an opportunity to have an outdoor game or an indoor game, depending on our weather?
Having been someone who played with a retractable dome before, it'd be a great option for Syracuse because people could be, I've been saying all year, I'd love to sit outside in this day, and it's tough to sit in a dome on a hot, smoky day, but you know what, at the end of the day, they're going to make the choice.
That coming from Rob Drummond. Rob is heading up to the dome. I'll be heading up shortly after him. Rob Drummond, Syracuse alum, one of the top three in yards per carry with Ernie Davis and Jim Brown, a living legend. Didn't wear the number 44 because he wanted to make his own number count, and I respect that very much. 44 is back, though. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, throughout the season. For myself, Dan Tortora, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is live every pregame 3 hours in advance of the games here for Syracuse football and for Syracuse men's basketball. Jay Rose has it down to Syracuse and UConn. We agree that there should be a retractable roof, and we both think that Syracuse is going to take it to Wake Forest today. As always, Rob, thank you for everything.
Thanks, Dan.